as you can imagine, some bigger goals in 2026. And then not only looking at those hard, but how we get there. And then the second half of this, I'm going to ask Matthew Hinez to come up. See Matthew over here. And talk a little bit about his background, what he's doing now at Hinez, and the way he views our business. Because he's been a great partner for me, not only in the U.S., but also overseas. So thank you, Matthew. So look at the screen. We came into this year with a $1.7 billion goal. And that's it from a global standpoint. Okay? And that goal was made up of the various bars you see on the screen. And where the black line is where the goal was. Okay? So you can see the HTS goal was $400 million, Matrix was $600 million, and so on and so forth. Obviously, on HTS, we're going to do much better. I think we're at, as of today, $520 million if you count the drip in there. So just phenomenal job. And I spend a lot of time talking to our peers. And I talked to one particular firm at Schwab, and they said, "We can't do big DSPs because we're not raising any money." I said, "Oh, no, we're net positive. We've been net positive all year." And it's a testament to all of you guys. So really well done on HTS, as Dugan said. HREX, look, we could have raised $1 billion, $1.5 billion maybe if we had the capacity. We all know that. And so we were a little, our arms were a little bit tied behind our back, but still going to come in, I don't know, Rich, somewhere around $730 million, we think, which is about 25% over our budget. So fantastic. Flagships, it's not what we do. It's not our focus. But we were able to get J.P. Morgan to say, "Yeah, we want to offer Hinez Europe property worth half." That was right before the fund manager resigned. So you can imagine what happened there. Luckily, they put us on hold. They didn't just walk away. So we're hoping that comes back, right? And it should be much more than $100 million. But that's what our plan was there. Direct's largely a family office goal. But of course, our direct investments, also known as HSD, and a name I'm trying to kill slowly because we're going to do more of the U.S. deals, right? But we have a $200 million goal there. And as you can see, with your help, with Deal Road, as Dugan said, we're on target to get to close to $200 million. That's if everything closes in the next 3 weeks. We'll be under that number. But overall, we're pretty happy with where we are. It's hard to control these things. But the good work Charles Cho has done on the family office side, we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. And then Charles will talk tomorrow. And then City Club, my favorite product. You can see it there. Let's call that a big goose egg. It's been just moved to 2026. We keep pushing it forward. And so hopefully, one of these years, it's actually going to show up green on that screen. But look, Caruso and I are heading up to Boston January 7th. Put the screws to the city a little bit and see if we can't get this thing going. And then we'll talk a little bit about our part of that, right? The matching capital side of that. So that's 2025. $1.7 billion. We have $1.2 billion closed. We think we can get to $1.4 billion if everything comes in the next 3 weeks. Again, we all know how it works. Some things are going to slip. But we'll be pretty close to that. Generally speaking, the firm is very happy. Because they know the two big drivers of why we're under budget, we're largely out of our control. Right? The resignation and then City Club. Okay? So, great 2025 by all measures. So thank you again. Now, as you can imagine, as you start to grow the business, and we've added a lot of people, we've added different geographies, we're adding new distribution partners, right? The goals grow with that. Now, you can see 2025 kind of where we come in and think, let's shift to 26 for a minute. Right? Not all of this is applicable to this team. As I mentioned, these are global goals. But our HTS goal is up to $750 million next year. I think absolutely reasonable. Right? We need a little help from sentiment, right? Maybe a little performance from Omar. I see he snuck in over here late. And that $750 should be very doable. HREX at $1 billion, if we have the capacity, we'll easily do it. Right. First deal, $620 million. Omar has been a at the firm are tired of hearing me complain for 12 months straight about we need fewer and bigger ESDs, and we finally have one. Well, it's not perfect, but it's good enough, and we'll be able to sell it. So I think we're 60% done with that goal today, right? And the overrun is going to Memorial Day on when we close 9. So if anyone wants to take that bet, over on Memorial Day, see Charles Joe after. Directs, that includes our matching capital, right? So think of the HNAP and SCX as well. And then other, that's a pretty big other. I told Molly we should put this slide together. It's a pretty big other, 750. But that includes things like HGAP too. You guys might not know what that is. Over that's like Heinz Friends and Family program. We're coming back out with Fund 2. That will largely fall on Charles. So we had to talk about your KPIs to make sure you have the HGAP 2 largely from yours. And so that's 300 of it, and you know we go on and on from there to make up that other. It's not really your team, this team has to worry about that. But it's a big goal, right? 3.15 billion. But I think when it waterfalls down to all of you, and Duda and I have gone through it already, we have goals for each territory, we have goals for family office and Europe and Asia and all over the world, and we start to look at the individual goals, you're not going to be scared, right? And if we hit our individual goals, we'll crush that number. Okay? So we feel really good about that. 27 and 28, not important at this point, but those are close to the totals, I'll tell you that, at least as they stand today. So, much bigger business going forward, and much bigger expectations. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, great businesses have great leaders, and I think, you know, I've been here almost 2 years now, and I think we've built a great team. Now, obviously, the people you see on the screen, every one of them has a great team underneath that that is making that look very good every day. And then obviously all the other business units at the firm that kind of touch us. But, you know, looking at this, Matt, I have to say that speaking of pictures, that's like a 16-year-old driver. We should probably update that.
I'm not the only one, Bob.
So love the team here. I've been doing this 30 years. I wouldn't trade this team for any team on the 9-0-S. Good as anybody else. Okay. This is the U.S. wealth management business, the market, right? By channel. So the size of the bubble is the size of that channel. And the further you are right on that screen, the faster you're growing. Okay? And obviously, when I got here, I mean, IBDs, we have that lockdown. We know we're in just about every one of them that we want to be in. Now, Cerulli tells us that IBDs are showing a high growth rate, but that's all because they've been buying insurance and other things. It's all M&A. It's not real growth, but it is where it is. So, look, we're focused on every one of those channels, right, and growing. But where we've spent a lot of time in 2025 is on the green ones, right? On the wirehouse side. We'll talk more about that in a bit. RIA. Right, Justin coming in and Brendan coming in to really put a dedicated effort behind it. And then retail direct. What's retail direct? Think of that as a Fidelity direct, Schwab direct, Vanguard, right? It's a huge market, right? Largely untapped. John Caruso and team were able to get us on the Schwab platform. Not Schwab the custodian, but the direct to Schwab. That's in that market, right? And we're now talking to a big asset manager about doing some business with them directly as well. That'll take probably all of 26 to sort out. But retail direct is another one that we'll focus on. So, we talked about RAA a little bit. Duda gave you some stats. I won't go through all the stats. But I'll say just in the last 12 months, the growth has been staggering, right? We know how many RAAs we've added, but you know, when Justin joined, I asked him to focus on the top end of the market where I thought we were deficient, right? And you know, if you know the names on that list that either agreed to launch our products or are in the process of doing that, right? These are some of the biggest RIAs in the country, right? There's more to come. Gus will talk more about that tomorrow as well. Family office. Again, I won't spend a ton of time on this, but you know, Charles, to his credit, came in and no business. There was no business, right? Strangely, the Hines never really called on family offices. Hines had to give it up. But Charles came in and really started doing that in 2025. And, you know, purposefully, we just went out and met him. Just talked about who we are, who we are, and how we like to partner, right? And all of that now is starting to come to fruition, whether it's direct one-off direct deals, partnerships that you see on the screen there, we're setting up programmatic type of solutions. Just a lot of activity there, and you'll start to see that coming in 2026 in a pretty big fashion. So we're setting up that. What are we doing here? Well, this team got stood up in 2025, led by Eugenio, good Irish kid. Eugenio's a good guy. Came from Schroeder's. Brought him in to run the team, and he's built a fantastic group. It's still relatively small, and it will remain small for a while. So Alex Farrell, Petro, joined us. They were internal transfers. And then Adam Payne out in the Middle East. And Sue Wei just joined us from Citibank, and she's fantastic. It really raises a lot. She can provide the capital across the area. So really exciting things going on there.
They come over every time.
What I've asked them to do, the biggest KPI, if you will, is get this fund stood up, right, and launched. So Hines, global real estate opportunities, it looks a lot like HK from a structuring standpoint, but it's domiciled in Europe. Okay? Got a little more value added in it because that market wants, they don't want 6 to 9, they want 10 plus. Okay? And we think we can get there through this model here. And so far, it's been going pretty well, meaning we've got one anchor signed up, we've got another one. The one anchor signed up is in Italy, the other bank is in Spain, and we're working on things in Singapore and Hong Kong and Canada and Latin, right? So more and more to come. This is going to be a big, big fund, and it's got big shoes to fill with HGIT. And this will fall under the growing kingdom of Omar, where he will oversee this product as well. They're also working on family office there as well. We won't go through the stats, but they've been doing a great job. Asia, we're a little behind in Asia where I'd like to be, and part of that is because we had to make a change at the top. Right? So we brought in Hauzan. Absolutely the right guy for the job. He worked for me for 4 years at Carlisle. He built a business from nothing, top five in the industry. And he's here now, and we feel really good. We have two hires planned for 2026 for that team, so we'll start getting built out. These guys are off and running. And we were already doing good work there before he got here, but I've been able to hand that off to him, and hopefully go from four trips to Asia a year to three, and that would make my quality of life much better. You can see where they're operating, right? Global banks, regional banks, fintech, and family wealth. So multi-family. Okay, so more distribution, right, of what we currently have, number one. Also new product, right? So on the U.S. side, let's focus on the Americas. So for HGIT, Matt Bob has done a ton of work on this for me. At least three of our competitors, right, who have public funds are launching parallel 506Bs. Right? So we don't have much of a choice. We can't ignore it anymore. So we're doing all the work now to see, are we able to do that, number one? We now know that we can do it, right? Next step is for Sean and Jeff and John to go talk to all of our partners and see if it makes sense to them, right? Because you can't run a parallel fund forever. You've got to go 506B full time at some point. And I don't know. We've got to make sure the market wants it. Certainly Morgan Stanley wants it. The other ones are brought back to us. Okay? So that's something we're focused on. for HTA. Obviously, more model portfolios. BMAX is one, but iCapital is building these every day for people now, typically larger RIAs. And, you know, we're fighting behind the scenes to get in as many of those models as we can. Really, really important to go forward. Obviously, HREX, we want to continue to grow that. We know the limitations there. You guys know a little bit better than anything. We're working on a new product. Tender offer product that is focused on value add. The private equity guys have opened the door for us to do this, right? So, what 5 years ago, if you showed up at a Morgan Stanley where the product was not based on yield, they were laughed out of the office. Right? They said, I got a semi-liquid fund, it's fantastic, no yield. They said, yeah, see you. That's not as different, it's changing, right? You've got the infrastructure funds that are selling well, they're typically 3 or 4% yield. And you've got PE that has no yield. And advisors are putting them in their portfolio every day. So we've started to socialize that idea with distribution partners, including Morgan. And everybody has been very positive. Every one of us said, if nothing like it in the market, we'd be very interested in it. Okay, so we're just getting started on it. I wish I could say we were faster than we are. It's funny, I have a sign in my office that says, fast is our slowest speed. It's somewhat of a joke, but it's what I'd like to get to, but we're not quite there yet. I mentioned partnerships, right? Everybody's talking about 401k and defined benefit, defined contribution. And you know, we're doing our thing, we're looking at it. We are in conversations with one big asset manager who's doing that, whether it's 401k or co-branding a product with them, that could be interesting. Or they may even want to sub-advise something for them. So who knows where that goes. I don't know if we have enough capacity at this firm to do it. There's a whole lot of answers, a whole lot more questions than answers at this point, right? And then we'll continue to go after direct investments business. So again, more distribution, right? And everybody here heard me say more and bigger distribution, right? Partners, and you know, the account scheme credit, is new markets and new people in certain markets, and then 3 is new product, right? And that's how we go from $1.4 billion this year to $3 billion next year to $5 billion in 2030. And so yeah, we're super excited about that. The product I just talked about, the tender offer product, just to put it in perspective for you, this is where when we modeled it, we had the team look at from a risk continuum standpoint. So if you think of HKIT now between those two blue circles, right, 4 plus, this is kind of just kicking up a little bit above that into not quite the value add, but we still want a yield on product. We like to match the infrastructure yield, let's say 3 or 4%, but we want to take a little bit more risk, especially at this point in the cycle, to be interested. Okay, so this team here has been carrying a load for private wealth, right, at roughly 100% the last 20 years. Okay. What we're building should look a lot like what you see on the right, right, over the next 5 years. Not even 5 years, 2030 is important. And that's with Europe being 25% of the pie, Asia 15, and that, those two numbers would flip flop probably now. But yeah, the last is team probably about 60%. What we do, right? Including family office teams and us. So a more diversified distribution network, right, is always healthy because these channels are in different parts of their cycle at different times. So that's what we're going for. It's largely what I had at my last shop. It looked a lot like that. We were doing 7-8 billion a year, right? Broken out just like that. So it can be done. And we'll get there. And like I said, with great people like you, I see no reason why we won't. So with that, I don't think we can on time.
Good.
Good. So questions, any questions?
Yes.
Let's do it. Anyone have any questions for me?
Joe, come on in. Sure.
Long.
Just an area that's like.
Because this could go on.
Yeah, I'll talk about this tomorrow. Specifically, I think Schwab can transfer over to Fidelity and others. There's a little bit of gating, it's not just coming out there in public or like people in between, but I think what Paul's getting at, it's a huge opportunity for us to diversify our business and just get rid of that higher ABC concentration, because these firms like Schwab and Fidelity have so much scale and opportunity, and we can kind of do a top down push. To push in that direction, get more asset flow that way, and we'll never have to worry about concentration. Did you also skip the strategic slide in your presentation? And there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I skipped it or somebody took it out. It was not there. I saw that pause when I got the RA slide. Okay.
We're good.
Thank you. Let me bring up Matthew. Now,